Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at OnePeloton.com.
River Plate secured the Argentine Championship last season and has been the most successful club in the country over the past decade. However, how did River Plate rejuvenate itself after being relegated in 2011? And what is it like to be a fan of the club nowadays in Buenos Aires? We spoke with several sources to find out. I'm Sam van Rauten and welcome to the 433 Podcast. Remy Lehmann is a journalist and a season ticket holder at River Plate in Buenos Aires. He attends every home game to support the club. I asked him to describe the club for those who have never been to a River Plate game, like myself.
River Plate is one of Argentina's and South America's biggest football clubs. I remember the first time I went to the stadium as a migrant from Holland, just living in Argentina. And you go to this pretty wealthy neighborhood in Buenos Aires, in the north of the city. You walk a few blocks from the main road, and then you have this massive stadium right in front of you with about 86,000 people, which is packed every week. And the club really has a presence in all the city. Football is really important in Argentina. Football and politics, I think, are the two most important things here. So people talk about the club all the time, even if they're not fans. What goes on at River Plate or Boca Juniors or the other top five teams of Argentina is something that people talk about all the time. Not all, just the cab driver, but you go and sit down in a bar and you see on the television and they're talking about next match lineup. You walk in the street and you see people with football jerseys, and the closer you come to the River Plate Stadium, even on non-match days, the more River Plate jerseys you see. And it has become one of the biggest clubs of Argentina because it's the most successful club in Argentina with the most national titles. They've got 37 national titles. They are the current champions of Argentina. And they've also had some South American success with a few Copa Libertadores, which is the South American equivalent of the Champions League, and a world title in 86. Yeah. So a big, very big team.
Yeah. You already mentioned that the neighborhood is a little bit upper class. Of course, the club originated in La Boca and then moved to another place. The club is also known to be a little bit more upper class than rivals Boca Juniors, for example. How do you see this? Is this reflected in the people who visit the club, or is it just the neighborhood? What's your opinion on this?
I think it's more a bit of a marketing than actual characteristic of the club. If you go to the stadium like me every week, you see people from all classes. Myself, I'm a season ticket holder. I'm in the cheapest standing section. And I look around me and I see people that work 70, 80 hours a week to make ends meet. and I see people that drive to the stadium in a fancy car. So you have everybody in Argentina is represented in the stands. But I think both clubs kind of like to show or like to market a different crowd for marketing purposes, I guess. And River Plate does ring true in when we talk about like the play, the way the clubs play the football. Like River Plate has always been a team of the aesthetics, so it's not just about winning, it's also about showing beautiful football and showing off a little bit. And you do see that in the stadium. Like River Plate is very proud that they have the biggest stadium of Argentina and they're renovating it at the moment. So everything has to, not even, you don't just have to win the games, but it has to be like a really entertaining experience, and not in like the modern football kind of way entertaining, but really like a good game on the pitch. I don't think that River Plate fans are more affluent or more wealthy than Boca fans, for example.
Yeah. So a typical match day experience for you as a River Plate fan, what does it look like? What does a typical match day for you?
Well, one thing you have to take into account is that it takes quite a long time to enter the stadium. So I usually leave home about 2.5 hours before kickoff. I live about half an hour, 45 minutes from the stadium. Go by public transport with my River Plate jersey, of course. We're in winter here now, so it has to be a River Plate jacket. But more than in Europe, people go to the stadiums with the team shirts. Yeah. So when you go to the stadium, you see team shirts everywhere. Not so much people dressed in black as the ultras in Europe. And then when I get to a few blocks from the stadium, I meet up with my friends. We go into a supermarket and buy a bottle of wine or a can of beer because you can't have drinks in the stadium. And then you have to pass like 5 security controls. Security in River Plate is very strict. We've had a few incidents in the past with people attacking the Boca player bus. It's very, you can't bring anything to the stadium. If you want to, you have to really smuggle it. But then after like 5 controls, you get to the stadium. And then in my case, it's going up the stands and the up tier, which makes you get really exhausted to get up there. And I try to be inside the stadium, like on my spot, which is always the same spot with the same guys, 1 hour before the match. And if you arrive after that to the stadium, it's hard to get to your place because the place is really packed long before kickoff. Because it's also a meeting place for people who don't see each other the rest of the week. So you chat about not just the lineup, but how life is going. It's really like a second living room for a lot of people. Yeah. And of course, when the kickoff nears, people start chanting, singing. Which compared to most European clubs, it's a madhouse. It's really nice to really feel that atmosphere. And it's one of the reasons I also like going to stadiums here, because it's not just about what's happening on the pitch, it's also what's happening in the stands. This is a very divided country. People, there's a lot of political fighting in this country, usually just with words, luckily. But in the same, you feel like we're all one, and that's really nice to have that experience.
I also spoke with Andres, one of the hosts of The River Pod, an English podcast about River Plate. Here's Andres of The River Pod discussing the typical playing style of River Plate.
3 words: gustar, ganar, and golear, which means to score goals, to entertain while you do it, and to win games. So that's more like the club philosophy. Everything about River Plate and its playing style is anchored in a philosophy. And the main goal of the managers is to please the audience. And funnily enough, when you meet the big teams in Argentina, like you very rarely see a decisive 4-0 or 3-0 victory in Super Clásico versus Boca. It's always a hard-fought 1-0, 2-1 win, usually. But, you know, they are rated by how well they exceed the expectations on the pitch in terms of attacking and producing and scoring goals while entertaining the fans. So the general strategy of the football club is to entertain.
River Plate has always been one of the prominent teams in Argentina and even South America. However, in 2011, the unthinkable happened.
River Plate was relegated to the second division. The club became the laughingstock of Argentine football and had to start over. Here's Andres.
It really meant that we had to start fresh because the biggest stars of the team that went down, they went to Europe, like Andres D'Alessandro and players like that. They ended up in Europe. And some players came back to help us get up back to the top flight. But it really turned the club around because they had to think otherwise or differently in terms of what they had done before. You know, the Argentine club or league rules are usually in place to make sure that the big teams do not get relegated. But miraculously, River Plate managed to get relegated and they had to start over and they did. They came in with a former player to led them back to the Primera and after that Ramon Diaz came in and took over and River managed to win the league again and then Marcelo Gallardo took over and the rest is history, as to say. But you know, I think for River Plate it was a wake up call and probably a wake up call that they needed to take as well.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
River Plate's former president Rodolfo D'Onofrio appointed the young manager and former player Marcelo Gallardo in the summer of 2014. Gallardo would remain in charge for over 8 years and became the most successful manager in River Plate's illustrious history, winning numerous trophies, including two Copa Libertadores. Here's Remy discussing Gallardo's tenure as River Plate's manager.
It was quite a bold choice of D'Onofrio to pick Gallardo as a coach because he didn't have a lot of experience at the time. He had been coach of Uruguayan team Nacional and made them champions, but that's the Uruguayan league with all respect. But I think Gallardo really knew the club very well. He himself is a product of the club, did the youth academy there, played for the team in a long time. So he knew that all the ingredients to become a successful club again were there. He got more freedom than other coaches at Argentine clubs usually don't get. He was backed by a very good technical director, Enzo Francescoli, also a man who played for the club, ex-Uruguayan international. So they proved to be a very good team. And I think that one of Gallardo's good thing was that he picked the right players from the youth academy, gave them a chance, and did not like spend all the cash on very expensive players from abroad or from other teams. You have to imagine that Argentine clubs, even River Plate, are relatively poor compared to European clubs. So River Plate's most expensive player that they bought during the Gallardo era costed $12 million, which is, in nowadays terms, it's nothing. But it was this player, Lucas Prato, who made some of the most important goals in the club's history, beating Boca Juniors in the Libertadores final in 2018. So he was a great investment. Hmm. But yeah, I think trusting in a person that knows the club very well, that uses everything within the club, the youth academy, and scouting great players, so it was a good match for Gallardo, who also made sure that nobody felt himself more important than the team. In a lot of Argentine clubs, you have a lot of egos within the team that in the media, they mouth off other players or they're very critical of other teams. With Gallardo's team, this never happened. Even somebody who would have played like the first 14 matches of the season, if he wasn't selected for the 15th match, he would accept it and would then not go to the media complain about it. So the Gallardo years were not only a time of success, but also a time of unity within the club.
How would you describe his playing style?
Very aggressive and always on the attack. So aggressive in a good sense, like always wanting to have the ball, wanting to have playing a very attacking style. That what I referred to earlier, like that's in the River Plate DNA. Yeah. You don't just have to win; you always have to win playing the game beautifully, so people are entertained while they're watching your club. Yeah. And he knew how to combine those things.
And here's Andres talking about how President Rodolfo D'Onofrio and Gallardo collaborated.
Him and Gallardo used to work very, very well together. They had a very strategic and clear plan on what they wanted to do, which players that they wanted to bring in, and what kind of playing style they wanted to play. You know, hailing from the club's strategy of Gustav Ganar Goliar, and he was given time. And the thing with Gallardo was, he managed to build new teams, new River teams, after going through lots of success in the previous season. Because in South America, and especially Argentina, if you have a great season, you can bet on, you know, maybe half of the real good players of that team ends up in Europe somewhere, yeah, or goes to Brazil. Or back in when Gallardo took over, most players even went to Mexico, because Mexico was, you know, the big money league in the Central America and those parts. But he managed to bring in talents that, you know, were perhaps even better than the ones that left, and he managed to build new teams around his own philosophy. D'Onofrio stood firm and kept Gallardo on board, and it paid off big time, I would say.
Marcelo Gallardo left River Plate at the end of 2022. He was replaced by former player Martin De Michelis, who clinched the Argentine league title last season. However, not everyone is yet convinced by De Michelis. Here's Remy.
Although we became champions, it was a bit uneasy. I mean, it's hard for you to see your favorite manager go after 8.5 years and seeing somebody else step in, who also has a club history. So De Michelis was welcomed into the club. Yeah. But we became champions playing not great. I think the difference between River Plate and many other teams within Argentina is momentarily too big to be like have a real competition in that sense. We could win even playing bad. And the season until now was a little bit disappointed, actually, because we got kicked out of the Copa Argentina, the national cup, and the Copa Libertadores, the South American championship, which has become like the holy grail for this club, especially after Gallardo won it twice during his tenure at the club. So we're still like getting used to De Michelis as a manager. And the most heard criticism of him is that he doesn't give the youth players from the club enough chances to play, which I agree with. And another problem is that when things don't go the way he wants, he takes a lot of time before actually making changes into the team. And that has cost us quite some games already. So it's a mixed bag.
Yeah.
This new season just started, but everybody's already looking for 2024, because we played like two competitions in 1 year. The competition we're playing now, the Copa de la Liga, it's like a very short tournament, and nobody takes it really seriously. So now we're just giving De Michelis the time to build the team that will be competitive next year, not only nationally, but more importantly, internationally, because our obsession is the Copa Libertadores. And we'd love to win more national titles, but we need to win more Libertadores. That's what the club's about now.
Andres wholeheartedly agrees with it. The Copa Libertadores is now the main objective.
Oh, as much as I love for River Plate to win the league again and defend the title, I would very much love to see them win the Copa Libertadores again, because the Libertadores is the peak and the paramount of South American football. And with the way they have strengthened themselves this offseason as well, they shouldn't stand back for anybody, because they've brought in some very, very good players and some returning, like Lanzini coming back, Pitti Martinez coming back. I think the big goal to aim for is the Copa Libertadores, but obviously we would love to win the league again and defend the title, but Copa Libertadores would have to be the number one priority now. There's pretty much no excuse.
So, River Plate's current goal is to reclaim the Copa Libertadores. Don't forget to explore all the other fantastic content on the 433 app,
I want to thank Remy Lehmann and Andres from the Riverpod for their interviews. I'm Sam van Raalte, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of the 433 podcast. On to the next one.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.